ARVN.
Good afternoon and welcome to the channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska State FFA convention that is underway in Lincoln. An interesting trading market today. We're going to dive into a variety of different things that have been factored into this market, including what has been going on within this cattle complex. Of course, we saw the live cattle and the feeder cattle finish lower. Hogs had another upside day and the grain had a nice reversal for them, especially when you look at that wheat complex. We're going to dive with Kyle Bumstead. Kyle, of course, with Allendale. And Kyle, you and I talked earlier in the day as we looked at this cattle market. And like it or not, the talk and chasing the headlines is something that we talked about on this afternoon's market with John Payne. We got to stop chasing the headlines. And I think we saw a lot of that going on in this market today.
Well, that's right, Susan. First of all, thanks for having me back. But yes, there was a lot of headline chasing the way it appeared. I found it interesting on Tuesday, of all days, the day that the non-commercials, the funds, they position for the commitments to traders report at 12:10 in the afternoon. This headline breaks about high fat avian influenza in dairy cattle, and someone has contracted it that was in contact with these dairy cattle. And then all of a sudden, by 12:11, our market was just down, and we had touched limit down the live cattle there on Tuesday, and feeder cattle. They were working on it, but couldn't quite get there. Then yesterday on then we did see a little bit of or that was on Monday, and then yesterday we did see a little bit of you know, kind of a reprieve here. But today, come back in here, made our lows early in the day. Then we started fighting off here, and then ultimately closed lower today. Not the best to close this year. I'm looking at this June live cattle contract here. I'd like to see us close just a little bit stronger than we did. It doesn't look the best technically here. From a technical standpoint, it looked to me like there was more liquidation today. And as we got towards the end of the session here, it looked to be as though there was a little bit more non-commercial and some commercial selling as well here. Once we got into the end of the day, those spreads that were bullish all day, they bought June, sold August. They ended up selling June, buying August the rest of the session here. And ultimately, June closed below 100-day moving average, which comes across at 176.30. We closed at 175.60. Not a good look for the bulls here. Lower high, lower low on this move here. Potentially looking for a breakout again here to the downside here in the, over the next coming days. So that's kind of what it looks like as far as the technical standpoint. The weekly chart does look ugly as well, too. Feeder cattle, the daily and weekly charts look ugly there as well. Some other things that we're, you know, having to deal with here in this cattle complex. Cash today so far has been 187 here for the most part, which looks like it's going to be, you know, maybe about steady with last week. I think when we get the numbers all tallied up, we're going to be about steady with last week. I've traded some 189 delivered to a major. We've traded some like I said, 187, some 188. There's been some 296 bids here all in Nebraska. We didn't end up trading some 185 in Kansas here on a few cattle yesterday. There's been a few cattle in Texas trade today at 185 as well. So that's definitely not helping the market much either. Now, something else that I've all been kind of watching here too is this box beef market. Box beef has been on the skids here, and I'm hoping that $295 to $300 mark stops this slide here in box beef and kind of, you know, holds it here so we can hold this cash market together. But as I've been saying for several weeks, you know, around Easter is when you typically have a high end for cash cattle. And I think the week of Easter, we put in a spring high for cash cattle. So that's definitely something to be concerned about. The weights are still high. We're still worried about those, or I'm still worried about those, because it seems like we're still backing some cattle up. And we might not have the numbers out there, but we're still putting the tonnage on the market, Susan.
So let's talk a little bit about what you're seeing when it comes to beef demand from a retail side of it. Because of not only this HPAI news that's going on, but are we seeing just some cautious feel going on for this retail demand for beef? And is it something that's going to stick with us for a while?
Correct. That is a very good question. And yes, I have my sources out there in the beef trade do say that, you know, things are softening up here as far as it goes. And I think that's because we're kind of feeling the pinch here from the consumer. The consumer is kind of feeling the pinch. So, you know, go to the store and buy some steaks. I mean, it's not cheap to buy beef every week at the store. And I realize, yeah, it's probably cheap compared to other proteins and cheap comparative. But if you're doing that for a family of five or six every week, it does get kind of costly. I mean, we have the luxury here in a lot of places here in feed yard country. We can just go to our freezer and we have to worry about it once a year and we butcher. And that comes off the old Schedule F there. So, you know, we're not having to dig into our pocket every week like some are. So that is a little bit of a concern. And yes, I have been hearing some, you know, some little bit of a pushback here from those in the beef trade.
All right. What about these hogs? I mean, this market just continues to extend some highest prices over what we saw just a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. This hog market, I personally think hogs are starting to get up into some areas that are getting overvalued. Especially when you look at the index sitting around 84.92 and call it 85 cents, 85 bucks. And you've got the April sitting here at 87, 97, 88 bucks. We're a little bit high there. And then the June obviously is 104.75. That tells me it's a little bit high there as well, too. But you go out there that August versus October, we're an inverted market out there. So, you know, we might have something going on here. It's at a carry up front. And it's an inversion out back. And, you know, the bear spreads will be the thing that tells us here in the hogs if this thing is bearish or not. The spreads are going to be the one that leads the way. So far, they've been leading the way to the upside. But if those spreads start to roll over, then I'd be looking to take a shorter or at least be hedging some summer production out there because these are some good levels out there. I've talked to many producers out there that are filling barns right now, and they say, well, you know, it's probably going to go to 109, 110 there in that July contract. Well, maybe it does, but puts are cheap. The volatility is very cheap here as far as that's concerned, and that's what I'm looking at. You know, when you got cheap volatility, it doesn't hurt to get some cheap puts underneath this thing.
Oh, definitely. And what, before we head to break, what's the one thing we want our livestock guys to really be thinking about in this trade?
Well, I think we need to be looking at here, you know, rallies probably going to be met with some selling here. These intraday rallies like we saw today was met with some pretty good selling, and I think that's going to be the theme here for a while. The charts have turned negative as far as the live cattle go. The charts are still positive for the hogs, so be wary, though. They could switch at any point in time. I'm still a little bit worried about these cattle. That's what I'm worried about the most is these cattle. They have turned bearish from a technical standpoint, Susan.
All right, well, stick around, folks. We've got a lot more coming up as we get ready for the second half of today's Channel Final Bell. As we are broadcasting, of course, at the Nebraska State FFA Convention, which is underway through Friday. Well, more is coming up. Stick around. Back half, we'll take a look at the movement of this grain trade. It's the Channel Final Bell right here on the Rural Radio Network.
Joe Gangwish back with you for Channel Seed. Steve Bristol of Bristol Ag is our guest on this channel chat. Steve serves the central Nebraska area out of Ravenna. So, Steve, what's been the most rewarding part of being a Channel Seed pro?
You know, being able to solve problems for guys. Lots of times I have growers come to me with all kinds of issues that they face in their farm, and I utilize my local and practical trials and experience to create solutions that fit the individual farm needs.
What are the advantages of channel and regional brands coming together?
You know, we have the best and most complete seed portfolio in the corn and soybean industry, and it just got better. No seed company has a hybrid built specifically for each field's individual demands other than channel.
For more on what channel can do for you, see Steve at Bristol Ag in Ravenna. You can also find Bristol Ag and Channel on Facebook or contact your local channel seed professional in Nebraska, Kansas, Wyoming, or Colorado.
KRVN.
Welcome back once again to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Our conversation continues with Kyle Bumstead with Allendale. And we talked about the livestock side and the front side. I wanted to quickly, it's kind of livestock grain combination, because obviously we saw one of the largest egg producing companies announce out of Texas that they had avian influenza and we're going to have to get rid of like 3.5%, I think, of what their total flock number was, but that's a large number for them. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I heard some rumblings, read some rumblings, Kyle, they were worried about it from a soybean meal perspective, knowing that that's a lot of chicken feed that's not going to happen.
Well, it is, Susan, and that is a concern for a lot of us here, you know, especially on the grain side of things. Yes, it is very, very big concern. I don't know how deep the effects are going to be right now. I do know that it is moving around. It has moved to some cases, it moved into Ohio with these migrating birds and stuff like that that are coming over. It's anybody's guess, you know, where they land and how that stuff gets spread. So that is a big concern that we have here. What we've recently seen here is there's been a lot of commercial selling in the soybeans and the corn complex as well. So there might be some weight to it, but I'm looking here potentially for some of these spreads to start picking up here. Basically, a skew of volume is what I'm looking at as they start rolling out of these May contracts as far as getting out of the May beans and the May corn and the May bean meal and moving those out to the July. And what I'm talking about is some short covering here, because the non-commercial funds have big short positions in those three markets, as well as the wheat complex. So we could see this thing pick up just a little bit on some short covering. fundamentally, though, the market still has a lot of corn. We still have a lot of beans. We still have a lot of wheat here stateside that we just can't get rid of. And if we were to lose that feed demand side of things, then yes, we would really would be, we would be a lot worse off. And that is something that's very concerning to us.
So let's look at the nice turnaround we saw within this wheat complex. Does that come as a surprise to you?
Not really. We saw some short covering there. The one that really kind of stands out here is the Kansas City wheat, though. That market's still kind of inverted. I don't know as to why that really is inverted. There's really not been a big run on hard red winter wheat anywhere in the world. But we got back down here to some lows here. We got within that low of 555 scored on March 7th here. On this May contract here, we got as low as 560 today. It looks like an outside day higher reversal. Many times these daily chart reversals have been met with selling here within a couple sessions. So I'm not putting much weight into it just yet. What I'm more looking at here is the weekly chart. If we can get this weekly chart to post a higher, you know, if we can get this weekly chart in the May Kansas City wheat above 605, that's going to look really good. As far as the July contract goes, the one we should kind of focus on here as far as new crop goes, we need to get that July contract above 595 and 3/4 to close the week. That would be a reversal on the weekly chart. That would look good here from an intermediate term. Maybe the trend, short-term turn here, if we can get that above there, that 595 mark here in that July Kansas City week.
I know that the outside markets have been adding to the pressure as of late, and they've calmed down just a bit. But, you know, there was the whole earthquake in Taiwan, the rumors of China warplanes and vessels in Taiwan. There's just a lot of outside influence that's pushing their way into this grain complex.
Well, that's right. There is. And when you look at things like the dollar is down about 550 points here as we sit, here this afternoon. And you look at the precious metals, the gold up $36, trading around 23.18. You've got the silver trading around 27.15 to 27.20 up there. I mean, it's basically a flight to safety. They're taking the money out of the dollar and they're putting it into hard currencies, hard assets, you know, stuff that they can put their hands on, like gold, silver, platinum, copper. All those markets have taken on a pretty good surge here the last couple days here, especially this copper market. Copper's up 13, almost 14 cents here today at 421. That definitely broke out on the charts here. We did take out the old high there of a 419 and a half that was scored back there on April 10th. So we do have some, that'd be April 10th of last year on a weekly chart. So we did make some ground here in some of these contracts here that are economic indicators as well as financial indicators. So we still have the Fed speaking this week. There's going to be a few Fed trustees that are speaking this week and some stuff like that. So everybody's kind of looking to see what their direction is going to be as far as rate cuts. I don't think they're going to be cutting rates as soon as they thought they were here when we got out of this last Fed meeting a couple weeks ago. I think that it's going to be a little while before rates start to get cut.
Nice to see that Mexico continues to really be that big buyer when it comes to export opportunities on the grain side coming out of the United States.
Yeah, that's right. And it is good to see Mexico. I mean, they're our next door neighbor. They're number one in corn and number one in pork, buying it from the USA. And why not? I mean, we got the rail lines and the roads to take it right over there to them. So I'm glad to see that they are there, and we need to see a lot more of it. I'd like to see them, I'd like to see them buy a lot more from us. I mean, because China sure is stepping up here to buy, because they don't have to buy from us. Where they can buy other stuff. China can buy grains and commodities in other markets a lot cheaper than they can here in the U.S.
All right, real fast, what's your one takeaway you want to look at going into tomorrow's trade?
Yeah, one takeaway, I want to keep an eye here on these live cattle as far as live cattle and feeder cattle moving up here. If there's any sort of rallies, I look for intraday rallies to be captured and met by selling. And grains here, I'm looking at this July contract. I'm looking around that 450 area in July corn. There's some technical resistance up in those areas here. But ultimately, to finish out the week, is how do we finish on the weekly charts here as far as the corn and the wheat market goes.
Now, what's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Call me here at the office at 308-708-7340.
All right, Kyle Bumson joining us today. Just a quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.